Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the show. This is a podcast about the strange and unusual, the secret and conspiracies, the fringe and supernatural. This is a show where we do little to no research on our topics. We are not professionals in any field except speculation. This is the Secret Transmission Podcast. This is episode number 9. Today we're going to be talking about Ed Gein, the killer. My name is Toby, and I've got some partners in crime.
My name is Evan.
Kristen.
So, do you know anything about Ed Gein? I know Evan does. Evan?
No, I know a little bit about him.
Do you know anything?
I know some things.
Do you know that a lot of, like, a couple of the movies and stuff?
I do.
That are based off of him?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre is very loosely based on Ed Gein because of some of the stuff that he had done. The book and later on the Alfred Hitchcock movie Psycho is loosely based off of Ed Gein.
Very loosely.
Also, Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs is very loosely based off of Ed Gein. So this person has had quite an impact on pop culture and movies that everyone loves and quotes, and it puts the lotion on the skin.
Or else you get the hose again.
So, it's not, I mean, it's funny, but at the same time it's not, because this guy actually was pretty...
Those are very loosely done movies.
Right, but some of the... He's actually, in my opinion, scarier than all three of the characters, because...
Yes, in a way.
Like, okay, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Leatherface, he was coming at you with... He was like this big hulking dude that had a chainsaw that was scary. Ed Gein could be your neighbor, and you never know it.
Right, but also at the same time, like, this is mostly towards the end of the whole entire conversation, but I'll say it now. His mother didn't leave him with much of a choice. She gave him the survival skills of any young child, and he did what he could, which was pretty much, he needed her more than anything, and she didn't let him go out into the outside world, so therefore the coaxing method was literally left up to him after she passed away, and he needed to find that sympathy, so he found it in other women, and the only way to do it was within him finding women and keeping them, because no one wants to be kept against their will, so...
Well, let's back up. Let's back up to the beginning to explain what happened. Because he's not really a serial killer. What is, like, considered a serial killer?
I believe...
Someone who kills three people.
Right. I believe a serial killer is a...
Goes on the same path.
Is three or more of separate occasions. It can't be three at the same
time.
But
it's the same trade each time.
Right. It's got to be three different... people at three different times.
Right. So, okay. So, the beginning of Ed Gein, his full name is Edward Theodore Gein. He was born August 27th, 1906, in La Crosse County, Wisconsin. Ed had one brother, older brother. His father was pretty much a big alcoholic. He couldn't keep a job. His mother was pretty strict. She was a big Bible thumper. And she was pretty much the dominant one of the family. They all pretty much listened to her. Now, his mother owned a grocery store. She sold it to get out of the town. She wanted to be secluded, and they found this place. They bought a farm in Plainsville, Wisconsin. She didn't like the society. She pretty much pictured it as Sodom and Gomorrah. Like
a sinful town?
Yeah, she picked... That's how she kind of acted like this town was that she was in. Like, with all these people, so she wanted to be secluded out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, like, everybody was doing wrongdoing. Like, nobody was doing
right. Well, she was very hardcore about, like... She thought that every woman was a prostitute, was a whore.
Yes.
So she had very negative things to say about all women.
Really? It was about anyone that he... wanted to make friends with. She wouldn't let him make friends with anyone. If he came home and had talked about a friend that he had talked to at school or that he made friends with anyone.
Was a Jezebel.
Right. He was I believe abused for it.
Well, she got to a point where she would only let him leave to go to school. The rest of the time he'd spend all his time working on the farm, doing chores, and you know, at a very young age, his mother began to preach to him and his brother about the evils of the world, how bad drinking was, and how, like I said, all women were naturally prostitutes, and she made them read a lot of the Old Testament, and all the Old Testament has a lot of those kind of themes where women are less than the man. So that's what their whole belief system was. When his father died in around 1940, Ed and his older brother got jobs in the town to pay for the family's living expenses. Both men were considered pretty honest and hardworking. A lot of the townsfolk thought that Ed was kind of weird, but, you know, they were good workers. If you gave them a job, they would put 150% into whatever job it was, no matter how big or small. Mm-hmm. What's really weird about all this is Ed actually did a lot of babysitting around town. Which is really scary. Could you imagine being...
Well, back then, it was common for a guy or a girl to do babysitting.
Right, but think if like 10 years, 15 years...
Well, afterwards, you figure out who he was, yes.
You find out the man that was babysitting your child.
But no one knows at the time.
Right, but if you look back and you're like, holy crap, this is the guy that was watching me when I was, you know, 6, 7 years old.
The child...
I'd be like, I'm making millions.
The man that was... watching my child was keeping cut up vaginas in a box of salt. That's pretty strange.
So, when him and his brother would go to these jobs and stuff, his brother always teased him about how big of a mama's boy he was.
Mm-hmm.
And would ridicule him and just pester him and make fun of him. So now that I've said that, there's a really weird story, and Ed and his brother were burning off, I guess, the old vegetation off of their farm or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the fire got out of control. Ed claims that he lost track of his brother during, you know, trying to put out this big fire.
Mm-hmm.
They later found his brother dead. Now, because it was a fire, there was a lot of smoke and stuff, they believe that it was caused by asphyxiation. He had no burn marks, and later, like down the road... there's been claims that his brother had bruising on his head.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of shady, but Ed wasn't ever pointed as his brother's killer.
Right.
They just ruled it off as an accident, and, you know, he's a good kid. That's what the whole town thinks.
Mm-hmm.
So his brother dies. This leaves him with his mother. And he loved his mother. He's a mama's boy. You know, that's what his brother used to call him, mama's boy. Well, a very few years later, his mother had a stroke, so he had to take care of her. In 1945, she died after a second stroke. After her death, he boarded up all the rooms in the house that belonged to her, like her bedroom or any room that she would go to. He boarded those up, and he wouldn't touch them. He wouldn't go in there and move anything, her chairs, her... He made the bed, made it all pristine, and boarded it shut. Because he loved his mother and everything, he just didn't want to be out of place. And over time, he let the rest of the house become like a big trash dump. He had newspapers everywhere. He had old toys. He had started getting into the Nazi reading material. He started reading comic books.
I heard that he boarded up all of her belongings and then rented out the other areas.
No. He didn't. No one went in the house because
hiding in there.
I know, but he was hiding them in those areas that were boarded up.
No, he wasn't. He didn't ever rent out the rooms because he shut off his mother's belongings in the room because he didn't want those to be touched. Those were sacred. Those were like her things. And mother was a big thing to him. Like, mother was the world. So when mother was gone, it's kind of when he snapped a little bit.
He was not a social person at all. I highly doubt that he ever invited anyone into his home.
No, in fact, all the things that I read was that anytime someone would come to his... Which, he lived kind of isolated. Anytime someone would come visit him, he would walk outside. Because also, the other thing is, he didn't have electricity in that house.
Mm-hmm. Which, when I heard that he rented those things out, that would make sense because Psycho did.
Well, that would make sense if... For, like, Psycho, Norman Bates, they have the hotel and everything. And that might be where you got it confused.
Google it, people.
Yeah.
I think I'm right.
I don't think so.
The Bates Motel, is that the whole thing?
Mm-hmm. It's true to it, too, because of the motherhood situation. Being so true to the mother.
But he got really into death cult magazines, adventure stories involving Nazis, cannibalism... He's very interested in all these kind of stories that had to deal with death and I mean, I guess you could say evil things.
He was very interested in the female body as well. You know, as a young child, he was never encouraged to make friends or speak to girls at all. So as he got older and his mother passed, he grew some sort of obsession sexually with his mother. And when she passed, he looked for other places to figure out about.
Right, because his mother kind of kept him away from ever learning or experiencing those kind of experiences. So, you know, I'm sure he became really kind of obsessed with it, something that he wasn't allowed to know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
So... I could see him becoming obsessed with it and trying to... And this is maybe one of the reasons he kind of went crazy about it.
Right.
After his mother died, though, he made money by becoming a handyman.
Mm-hmm.
He did a bunch of odd jobs. There's reports where, like, people would have, like, a squeaky door, and he'd go fix the squeaky door. Just stupid little odd jobs because... He was Ed. He was just a strange guy that lived around town. People were just trying to help him out and give him a little bit of a job. He also sold a big portion of the land that his brother owned. And he also worked as, like, a road construction person.
I have a question. So, I thought on the Psycho movie, that was Ted Bundy.
Nope.
So, what in the movie Psycho, and it has the Ted Bundy dude on there. Who is that dude?
It's just
Ted Bundy's reference. Another killer.
Just in reference.
Which raped the girls.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
Basically, Ted Bundy would just...
But that's what Psycho, the movie, is based on, is Ted Bundy.
No, he's more based on Ed Gein. Because Psycho, he has that weird obsession with his mother. And when his mother passes away, his obsession gets worse. And that's when he starts killing people. And
I see, that's what... Because I watched Psycho, and it was on him who raped the girls.
Right.
But I didn't know. I didn't know that. I didn't know it was based on him, too. But I do know on Texas Chainsaw Massacre that he didn't his mom.
Yep, same thing. He was very mommy boyed. Mm-hmm. And
she was the one that ordered the kill. She would bring people. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, it's loosely based. That's what we're saying. But that's where it was inspired from originally. Like, there's even other characters that are inspired from. So on November 16th, 1957. The Plainfield hardware store owner went missing. The owner's son told the police that Gein was the last in the store that day before she disappeared. He had inquired about antifreeze or something, and she had wrote him a ticket. He came in there to ask how much it was, and I guess she already wrote the receipt out. And so that's how they kind of... When she went missing, they came back and looked at the last receipt, and it was Ed's.
Right.
So, of course, the cops want to follow up with Ed just to see, like, if he saw anything suspicious. This is when they went to Ed's house, out in the middle of nowhere. Apparently, Ed wasn't home, and they noticed that the shed was open. This is something that I found weird. The shed was slightly open, or maybe it was unlocked, and maybe they were just going to check to see if Ed was in the shed. Or I don't know, but for some reason they went to the shed, opened it up, and they found the owner of the hardware store hung upside down, gutted like a deer, and with no head. And she was hung upside down. So now they had all rights to arrest him and search his house, and this is when they started finding all the other stuff. But we're going to take a small break, and then we'll come back and talk about all the other stuff that they found. Okay, we're back. So, the cops have gone to Gene's home. They found the owner of the hardware store hung upside down and dressed out like a deer. She was shot with a .22 caliber rifle. And they searched Gene's home, and this is all the stuff they found.
Okay, so they found whole human bones and fragments, a wastebasket made of skin, chairs covered in skin, skulls in his bedpost or on his bedpost, bowls made from the skulls, a corset made from skin, leggings made from skin, mask made from skin, a belt made from nipples of women, four noses, a pair of lips on a window shade drawstring, fingernails, a lampshade made from skin from a human face, and also he kept a box of human vulvae left underneath his bed, and one was even ranged from a 15-year-old girl.
So, if he's not a serial killer, Kristen, how did he find all these parts?
He found these from digging up graves.
Mm.
He is a grave digger. What? So, or what he said that he was, he can't really recall from it, but he would go and he would dig up fresh graves that reminded him of his mom.
He would look up, he would read the obituaries very regularly. Right. So he knew, like, when someone was about to be buried, and he would go.
So he would go and he would do that, and he would dig up the people, and he would collect these items from them. But also, he would put, it's not like he was collecting, he was a grave robber. He was only necessarily a grave robber of skin or body parts. He put their actual belongings back in the grave, and there was accounts of him being to where he took the police back to the sites, and they were empty. The graves were empty, and they said that there was a couple occurrences whenever he went to go and get the body, but he couldn't get it, and it was dug up, and they could tell it was recently dug up, but he didn't have his crowbar because they found it in another empty grave site.
He lost his crowbar that he was prying open the caskets with. He lost it in another casket.
So he found these from graves, but they also said there was a couple occurrences where he had a couple of women. One was from when he went to go and buy a gun, and the gun was happened to be
that's having the hardware store story. His story on that is that he was looking at the gun, and he was loading it, and it went off and just happened to shoot her. So no one knows if it was an accident, and he just was like, well, fresh meat, and took the body and did whatever he was doing with it, or if it was like he loaded it, pointed at her, and shot her dead. With the grave robbing and stuff, he robbed up to, he dug up between like 30 and 40 graves. He claims from in between 1947 and 1952, he dug up about 30 to 40 graves. He claims that every time he was doing this, he was in like a daze, like some kind of state where he didn't
remember it.
Yeah, he didn't realize he was doing it. So about 10 of those times, he says that he woke up, he snapped out of it, and he realized what he was doing. So he would just shut the grave, put everything back how it was, and he would leave and go home. So I feel like that was the beginning of his insanity plea. Is like he was trying to say that so he could be like, oh, I'm crazy, man. Like, it wasn't me, it was the crazy me doing it.
Well, they also sat there and said that a human person could not dig up a grave in the amount of time that he was exclaiming, but when they went back at the grave site that he pointed out to them, it was empty. So they realized they couldn't ever find an accomplice for him, so they realized that it was him digging up the graves.
Well, and some accounts say that he may have had a helper through some of it, which I don't...
They could never prove it.
Yeah, but so I don't know. Do you know anything about the helper?
No, I don't. From everything that I've gathered, I believe he did everything on his own.
Mm-hmm. They thought he should have had a helper, but there was nobody to prove that how long it took him to dig up those graves. So there was no monitors, there was nobody there at the graves to even...
Well, and they were fresh, so, you know, they weren't, like, packed, they weren't rained on to where the soil's, you know, more
compacted. Did he ever work inside of a mortuary?
I don't know, I don't think he
was
did.
Was that ever proven so. Or anything?
I mean, that could have been one of his small jobs, but...
And I think he was so socially awkward that I don't think he could have...
But a fresh grave isn't that hard to dig.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
I hate to sound creepy, but it's not that hard to
dig.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Fresh,
like,
fresh dirt.
If it's fresh and it's loose, it's not going to be as hard as digging up a grave that's been there for 6 months and had rain.
Especially if somebody doesn't have a grave. Like, especially if they don't have a groundskeeper.
Right.
If they don't have a groundskeeper, then anybody can go in there and dig up the grave.
So, it's the authorities think that after his mother's death is when he kind of started doing this, like... grave robbing and stuff. They believe that he was trying to make a woman suit out of all these parts, like the leggings, the corsets, the vaginas.
He was trying to make his mother.
Well, he would wear them and walk around the house.
He wanted to feel like his mother would feel like inside of her skin.
Right. But he also always denied. He said that he never did anything sexual with any of them.
Because he couldn't remember anything. He said that he didn't have anything sexual with the bodies because they smelled too bad.
So, during the first trial of all this, for Gene, after, you know, they found all that, they ended up finding the head of the hardware store owner mm-hmm. inside the house. They also found
a stovepipe in a plastic bag.
Well, they also found another woman. They found her face in a paper sack.
He was wearing it around as his own mask.
But this woman was from a missing case 3 years prior to this. And she was the owner of a local bar in town. And no one could say what happened to her. They figured she was murdered. I think they found blood at the scene of her bar. But she was missing completely. They had no idea where she vanished. They just knew she was gone. So they were able to find her face and other body parts of hers to pin that also on Gein. But during the questioning, supposedly, of Gein, the sheriff reportedly assaulted Gein by slamming his head and face into a brick wall. This made Gein's original confessions
inadmissible.
Yeah, so he pretty much got off free, but
he still had a trial. But they made him to where he was pretty much guilty by insanity, or he was incompetent in court.
Right, right. So
I thought you got non-guilty by insanity.
No,
no, he was still guilty,
still
but
guilty
he was
incompetent.
He was
they'll
deemed
send you to a hospital
he was deemed insane
than
and incompetent and put into a hospital.
In November 21st, 1957, Gein was arraigned on first-degree murder. He pled not guilty by reason of insanity. He was found unfit for trial and sent to a hospital for the criminally insane and was diagnosed with schizophrenia. So he got off on the criminally insane for a short while. I think he ended up going back to trial a second time. And
he was found guilty.
He was found guilty of at least one of the two murders, and I don't remember why, but it was two. It was one. It was no more than two because they couldn't prove anything with his brother, even though that's kind of fishy with the fire and the.
No, he proved it because he had all the body parts.
Well, right, but who knows? He could have killed more. I mean, obviously he took body parts from graves, but he could have killed more.
Right, and there could have been more that were missing, but
right,
they didn't, and so he was. The second time around, they deemed him guilty and they put him into prison. And he died in, what was it, 1982 or 1984.
Well, before all that, Gein's house was up for auction. And the rumor was that they were, and this was, I don't know, you know, shortly after his arrest and everything, his house was up for auction, and the rumor was that they were going to have it as like a tourist attraction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the town wasn't real happy that they were going to pretty much be glorifying this crazy lunatic. And right 2 or 3 days before the auction, the house caught on fire. And the authorities were very slow to get out there and respond to it, to put it out.
I heard that they had taken everything at the accountability of, like, when they first found everything, they took it all and then they destroyed it.
Yeah, yeah.
Automatically. Not by fire. There was no fire. They destroyed it.
They destroyed the skin and the skulls and all the weird stuff. They destroyed it. They took pictures of it, but they destroyed it all. That way, no one was trying to sell it or take it on sideshow roads.
The only thing that's left of it was a car that was sold in auction to a carnival.
Yeah, and that man supposedly took it around with him, put a tent around
it. And charged him 25 cents per visit to it.
Sounds worth it, right?
Definitely.
That was back in 1988.
I guess that's kind of... What's the inflation on that, on 25 cents now?
And the only thing that was left of him was whenever he died, he was buried into his local cemetery, and he had a actual tombstone, which was vandalized and people took pieces off of it to sell, and eventually it was chiseled up and the whole entire thing was stolen but then later recovered, and now it still sits within the police combine.
Yeah, they found it. I don't know how they found it or anything.
Probably was being sold and they bought it and put it up.
Would you have gone and taken a piece of Gene's tombstone?
Not just of Gene's tombstone, I would have taken the man's face.
That's only fair, right?
It's only fair.
You know what? I can't believe no one's ever dug him up.
A piece of skin. I bet you they didn't. I bet you more than like a quadrillion amount of dollars. There is no skin. They burned him. They cremated him.
I think that would only be fair because...
And I bet you he's not even in that grave. I bet you that...
That's a decoy?
They either spread his ashes or gave it to somebody.
There's
his
a hard
family.
Mannequin down there.
There's a Halloween mask.
Yes.
Leatherface.
Well, he did die July 26, 1984. I read that it was due to respiratory failure from lung cancer that he had, but other things that I read also said that he died of natural causes.
Oh, and the cop that was that even had anything on him, period, ended up dying in respiratory failure.
That's the one that supposedly slammed his face.
His head into the wall, and then was supposed to be in the
He died before
trial.
Any of the trials. Yeah, he was supposed to testify
from respiratory failure.
His grave site is in Plainfield Cemetery.
Well,
it still is. I mean,
they say he's there, but he's got a tombstone that's at the police station.
So, do you think Ed Gein is like the most like? He's given so many people like ideas. Like I said, he's
the original.
Is he the most scared of serial killer that there is out there?
But he's not a serial killer.
Of how well that's. What
I know
call
what you're
him.
Saying. Yeah,
but
depends if
it's because of what he has gotten away with and of the most extremeness with that little care in the world.
Is he the most famous? I mean, I know maybe not famous as in people know, but is he the one that's influenced more horror movies and horror stories than anyone else?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
Most definitely.
Because really he's kind of turned into a pop culture icon, like with the Leatherface, with the Psycho, with, Silence of the Lamb and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's really weird. Even bands. There's plenty of bands that have written music and name stuff after, like, name the songs after either him. Slayer has a song called Dead Skin Mask. Mudvayne has a song called Ed Gein. Just straight up Ed Gein.
There's a straight up band called Ed Gein if you want to check
it out. Yeah,
little crazy.
Little death metal grindcore band.
Yep.
Called Ed Gein. Blind Melon did a song called Skinned. I don't know if that has anything to do with Ed Gein or what exactly, but it came up when you type it. There was two movies In 2001, there was the Ed Gein movie, just straight up called Ed Gein.
Mm-hmm. Two of them.
And then 2007, there was another Ed Gein movie called Butcher of Plainfield. Ed Gein, Butcher of Plainfield.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they also say that there's a 1974 movie called Deranged. I've never seen it,
mm-hmm.
but they say that it's pretty loosely based off of Ed Gein.
Mm. It's on Netflix.
It's about Mark. Mm. Probably.
I highly doubt the Ed Gein ones are, which I believe, I like the first Ed Gein more than the second one. The first one seems more like his personality from what I've read. He seems to be a very shy guy. And the second one, the movie kind of just makes him out to be an asshole. And I don't think that's what he was at all.
See, and it really makes me wonder if over the years, stuff hasn't been added about the Ed Gein mythos.
Well, he was a sad person. All he said was that the very first person that he ever loved and that ever loved him was now dead. And that was the only person that would ever love him for the rest of his life.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
His mother.
But like I was saying, like I feel like a lot of the mythos of Ed Gein, there may have been stuff added to that wasn't ever an actual thing. You know, like, I don't know, they're just, you know, 70 years later, people are like, oh yeah, by the way, I remember this one time. Because I saw accounts where people were like, I guess, you know, just people in the town, and they were like, yeah, he had a weird stare in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make sense to me. It's like they're like kind of predating, like, or you know, after they found out that he was a killer, they're like, oh yeah, he's crazy. And, you know, he did all these crazy things, so he had these crazy stares, and I just never trusted him. Because everyone, a lot of stuff says that, yeah, they were good guys and didn't do anything. So it makes me wonder if any of this information has been altered to
make it more...
make it scarier. Yeah, make him way, like, more nuts. I don't know. What do you?
I don't know, because this isn't as much... this isn't as scary as some people have.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward, but what's scary about it is, like, unlike Leatherface, he's got a chainsaw. He's big, he's a brute, he's hulked out, and he's coming after you, and nothing's going to stop him. You can shoot him, he's going to keep coming. What's scary about Gein is he could be your neighbor.
Yeah.
He could be the weirdo that you're talking to at the store.
In which they said, you know, for years he would always claim that he was deer hunting, and he would give all of his neighbors this extra deer meat that he had an abundance of.
Really?
But it actually ended up being these people that he were digging up, and he was trying to get rid of all of the extra meat that he
really?
Had.
Really? See, I didn't find anything on that. That's... mm-hmm. That's... could you imagine...
fucking gross.
Could you imagine just...
I don't know. I just don't see this being as brutally as anything else. Like, if...
well,
it could be a massacre. It could be... like,
I mean, there are other serial killers that were just... they are brutal. They are crazy. But Gein, like, was making... like, it's so weird that he had chairs upholstered from skin.
Yeah, I mean...
that's his way of living. Like I told you, I said, if his mother loved him so much and she didn't teach him that much, then he has... I mean, it could be like human, like, living. Like, you're doing what you can to make yourself work. Like, he has human skulls in the kitchen as bowls, or he's making it...
It's normal for me to eat cereal out of a head bowl.
It's the same thing as if we were hunting an animal, we would sit there and make
a
lampshade out of their skin. We would make a rug out of their skin. We would use their bones to make, you know, hang on our freaking door. It's the same thing. It's human nature. He was doing what he did in hunting. That's just it, period. If we can do it within animals and that's our mammal instinct, then somebody else should be able to do it, period.
Well, the bowl that he was eating cereal out of wasn't a deer
skull,
bowl.
But that's the same thing, though.
It was Bernice Warden's
head. Who's going to justify a deer skull? They could. they're their own entire community too.
Deers don't talk to us.
They don't know.
Deers
that.
Don't sell us.
They talk to each nails. Other. They don't talk to. They talk to each other. So if you go in there and you kill a deer, then you could be massacring their family. So it's the same thing.
So you're saying hanging a deer head on the wall and hanging someone's face on the wall is about the same?
Well, it's mammal. I'm mammal versus mammal.
Life is a life. I understand that, but when I go out to the woods and I shoot a deer, they don't talk to me. When
no,
they lay there dying.
But you're still taking but their body.
Bernice Worden did as
it?
She hung upside down. Ugh. And Ed Gein cut her vagina out and put it into a box
of salt. The only
thing
you can do is understand a deer or anything. Like, you can't understand the animal, period. So, but it happened. Like, if it's okay for us to sit there and wear bones around our neck of another animal and we're considered a mammal, then why can't we wear bones around, you know, if you have a kill, you have a kill, period.
For some reason, our government.
The only thing is that we have people govern. The only thing is that we have people governing us, and there's not a dear governor out there,
Evan,
speaking for them.
Evan, when I die, I want you to stuff my head and put it on your wall.
Yeah.
Where
yeah,
my
that's
balls
the thing.
Are
yeah. We have, that's the thing. We have taxidermy. What we kill, we stuff, we put it on our walls. He did the same damn
big.
Thing. The only thing he did was do it himself.
Yeah. I don't see any harm in it. I mean, they're already rotting away. Might as well cut them up. Make them
something
decor.
And
why
kept
not?
The trophy.
I would like to have a ball sack wallet.
Why not?
Stop it.
So, but we can all pretty much agree that this he's a pretty weird dude. If most of all this is true,
agree that it's abnormal and it's inhumane. But I will say, though...
You just wanted to argue for argue's sake?
Well, if it came down to it, all I'm saying is mammal versus mammal.
I don't trust you anymore,
it's species,
Kristen.
Species, though, a deer would sit there and be like, I'm not going to murder my kind and wear my shit around
right.
my neck or wear my antlers around my shoulder
You never
blades.
Know. There are freaking
human
breeds out there that eat their own children at birth.
I feel like people like Ted Bundy, he's a weak vagina. You know,
he's not as hardcore.
He's not as hardcore.
Ted Bundy should have stepped up his game.
No,
he murdered women.
Fuck. I'm sorry.
He was just sick.
All I'm saying is there's murder in anything.
I'm sorry, this
period.
Is probably blunt. Didn't he, like, jack off to women, like, undressing in a shower?
That's what they
well,
say.
Well, I mean, that's just awesome.
That's just what
Ted
they
Bundy,
say.
Ted Bundy,
I don't know that for sure.
He murdered funny. Women and left them in the woods. Ed Gein, he brought them to his house and he lived in it. He lived
cereal
it.
Cereal out
That's
of their
badass.
Heads.
Ed Gein, rats off to you, buddy.
Do you think skulls are microwavable?
Yes.
Ask
oh,
Ed
yeah.
Gein.
They can withstand radiation.
He didn't have
they can withstand a microwave.
Ask Ed Gein if they're fireproof then.
Well, I guess that's all we really have on Ed Gein.
Plastic yep. cups do not work.
I'm going to go try to see if I can find some skull bowls to microwave now.
Yep.
I'm not
you. Won't hear.
I got you a skull bowl.
You won't hear of Toby after tonight. I'm going to make him to my skull bowl.
Will you wear me around?
Yes. I'm gonna beat on pots and pans in the moonlight wearing your skin.
We got a moonstorm.
I'm going to make your nipples into my belt.
Ooh. All right. Everyone say bye because this is getting weird.
Deuces, my friends.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you have any questions or comments about anything, please send us an email at secrettransmission@hotmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter and find out when we post our new shows at secrettranspod, at secrettranspod. Don't forget, all of our episodes are also available on YouTube and SoundCloud. Just search for Secret Transmission Podcast, and please subscribe. Please come back and listen to us try to explain the unexplainable.
Want to say goodbye, Roger?